Good afternoon. It is a Thursday, November the 10th, 2016. You're tuned to WWGH Radio, 12 minutes after the hour, coming up on 13 minutes. And as you know, 48 hours ago, we concluded the most contentious, as most people called it, election cycle in the history of election cycles as Donald J. Trump, the first man who has never served in the military, never been in political office, was elected to the presidency of the United States, defeating Hillary Clinton. A gentleman who I have great respect for, who joined us many times during the election to discuss what was going on, is former anchor of the Today Show, former anchor of the widely popular ABC News Magazine 2020, and former announcer on Jack Parr's Tonight Show, the one and only, from Ohio, Hugh Downs. Mr. Downs, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
We just had a breaking news story, and I'm going to get to it momentarily, but I want to ask you, what'd you make of Tuesday night, the election?
Well, it was sort of a shock to everybody, I think. But I've had a chance to think about this, and stuff that we kind of saw coming, really. I mean, not just me. And so it wasn't that much of a shock. And somebody once said that they had a brand for it, for the situation, that was called, the name was Rural Rage. Rural Rage meant the inner class of people, which is kind of eroding, while we have enormously rich people at the top with about 99% of the money that we have goes to them, while we've got families that are really in bad shape. You know, families studying whether the little bit of money they can come up with should be spent on food to keep them alive or on medicine to keep them alive. And this is a deplorable thing for the most rich nation in the world. But it wasn't too much of a surprise. I think what happened was a surprise to everybody, because of the way it's set up with the, you know, with that collegiate setup for, hang on just a second, I've got to...
No problem. Again, we're talking to Hugh Downs, legendary newsman here.
I had an unavoidable interruption there.
Oh, no problem.
But it was a shock, because the way it was set up, nobody guessed that could happen. You know, that Trump could become the president. Now that he is, I think we really have to give him a chance to behave like a president, because I think he wants to do that.
Now,
so we ought to get behind him.
He is currently just about to our meeting with President Obama right now, but here's the news story that just came out, and this is from a very reliable news source, Reuters, which is one of the wire services, and I'm sure you're going to hear this, you, just as I am. Here's the story, so I'm just going to rip and read it off the wire. Here's what it is. This came about 11:30, so about a half hour ago. The Russian government was in touch with members of President-elect Donald Trump's political team during the U.S. election campaign and knows most of his entourage, one of Russia's most superior diplomats, told the Interfax news agency on Thursday. Accused by defeated Democratic contender Hillary Clinton of being a puppet of President Vladimir Putin after praising the Russian leader, Trump has dismissed suggestions he had anything to do with the Russian government during the campaign. But in comments that could prove politically awkward for the president-elect, Russian Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Rybakov said that they had indeed been in communications. There were contacts, Interfax cited the minister, as saying, we are doing this and have been doing this during the election campaign. Such contacts would continue, he added, saying the Russian government knew and had been in touch with many of Trump's closest allies. He did not name names. Obviously, we know most of the people from his entourage, that being Trump's entourage. Those people have always been in the limelight in the United States and have occupied high-ranking positions, he said. I cannot say all of them, but quite a few have been staying in touch with Russian representatives. Moscow was just beginning to consider how to go about setting up more formal channels to communicate with the future Trump administration, says the deputy minister. A spokesman for Trump did not immediately respond to request for comment, and there is an FBI inquiry going on, and which has been going on since July, by FBI Director James Comey about possible ties from the Russian government to Donald Trump. You, where does that story rank as on the unbelievable level?
I don't know. I was just thinking, if you go back enough steps back, it has its roots in a very non-understandable rage against Hillary Clinton. And even in defeat now, as you made a gracious statement about the changeover and the Trump presidency, even now there's such hatred for her. Totally not understandable by me, anyway, because she had contacts with others. She was part of a setup that just didn't change much. It wasn't really moving toward getting a better distribution, I guess, of the monies that we have. And we still we're going on from one administration to another with a setup that left families that were very, very, needy and not able to decide whether the money they had should be spent on the medicines for keeping them alive or food for keeping them alive. That's just deplorable when you stop to think that we are, how wealthy we are as a nation and how secure. But I think one thing we underestimated was, if you get enough ignorant voters, they can even be led to vote for something that's against their own direct benefit. And this is a thing that I think happened. However, I don't think it's as disastrous as a lot of people think. I think Trump should be given a chance to become a president. I think he's trying to do that, and that's why I think we should be behind him.
You, last night, 24 hours after the election, in 8 to 10 cities in the United States, there were protests with thousands of people protesting the election, even talking about California seceding from the Union. Have you ever seen any kind of protest like that after an election?
No, never before. I never did see that.
What do you make
of
that?
I just had a gong go off here. But, if I get an interruption, I'll let you know, but I'll try not to.
Yeah. Well, what do you make of that last night?
Well, it's odd. What it is, it's a reflection of what happened from Trump's earlier behavior during campaigns and everything. This is a mirror of what he kind of promoted, and that was a kind of a violent hatred of first of all of Hillary Clinton, and secondly a habit of wanting to do something evil or something very active and not good for everybody to solve problems. Now, he's got to go completely against that now if he's going to behave as a president. And I think there's a very good chance that he will behave as a president. I think he wants to do that. But there's a lot of rage there that I was surprised by and trying to understand all of it at the moment.
I saw former mayor of New York City, Rudolph Giuliani, on CNN this morning. He is a possible choice for Trump's attorney general, and he said there are very strong possibilities that the Trump administration will prosecute Hillary Clinton over the Clinton Foundation and these emails.
Yeah, it's possible. It should be investigated, but to go with a centered thing that's already decided instead of explored is not a proper approach, and I think they're going at it wrong.
Do you think what I just read here, this story that came out 45 minutes ago, that indeed Donald Trump had been in communication with Russia during this election, is this... normally that would not be a big deal, but is this treasonous, being that Hillary Clinton's emails were being stolen by the Russian government, given to somebody to leak, and foul play in an election is espionage? If Trump knew about that and was back channeling with the Russian government, could there be high implications? The FBI is already investigating him, trying to find ties to the government. The Russian government has now admitted it.
But there should be an investigation. There's no doubt about that. And there's no doubt about also that it could be considered not only felonious, but perhaps treasonous. Now, that's an extreme that I don't think we'll be driven to, but it is a possibility, because when a person is not the president, and he wasn't then, to be manipulating the channels of communication with another nation can be regarded as treasonous. And this is not an age where we would do really something drastic about it, but it should be investigated.
You were in the news department during most of the Cold War. You were around during World War II when the Soviet Union was our friend and then they were not our friend. You were there when the Berlin Wall came down. Did it strike you at all, and this is nothing Donald Trump could do, but did it strike you at all that the moment he was elected president, that one of the first people to congratulate him was Vladimir Putin? And thought now that he could open, hoping that he could open up channels with America now.
Well, I don't know whether he was hoping to do that, or whether he really saw a change that was obviously favorable to him in our behavior as a nation. And I think it's kind of extreme to interpret that as something. Above all, it's an extreme that should not be decided and then investigated. It has to be investigated and then decided. I think we need to think in those terms. I don't think that naturally anything, since the United States is so powerful a nation, it would please any nation to have an alliance with it in some way that it could boast about to other nations of the world. And I think that's what's happening. I would like to see it investigated, and hope that it would not be done so with a decision made before they got into the investigation.
Another thing that's very unique, you, is that Donald Trump will take office in January, and starting in late December, the fraud cases against Trump University will start. The cases of sexual assault will start, that Gloria Allred is pursuing. When Donald Trump takes office, it could be very believable that he will be in court cases for sexual assault, in court cases for fraud in Trump University, and in court cases, and being investigated by the FBI for his ties to Russia.
Well, he may feel right at home with that, because he's had those things before, and he's always dodged, just like he's dodged paying any taxes. And he was very, very tricky on that issue. And I think he'll feel right at home there, but I think the investigation should proceed. That's why I said it's possible that as soon as he takes office, and is in the Oval Office, it's possible that there'll be words in the air like impeachment or treason or that kind of thing. What becomes of that, I don't know. I think it'll evaporate in the same way that his tax situation and many things that he has had in the way of legal actions against him seem to evaporate. He could always manage that. So he'll probably manage it even when he is approached about it after he's in the Oval Office.
One of the things, we had so many people on this show over the last month, from Madeleine Albright to Al Franken to John Lewis, all high-ranking government officials who came on this show and said that if Donald Trump becomes president, we are without question scared, and Hillary Clinton called in the president, President Obama, many times said he was unfit for the position. Well, the reality has happened, you. Are we in for some trouble?
Well, he is unfit. He does not know what a president ought to know. He's got people now with him. If he wants to behave like a president, he's got people who can help him, and he should use the teleprompter and rely on the people who can do that for him. But there's a good chance that he'll go off the rails, as he always does, and go on his own and not do himself any good at all, after he's in office.
The other big story this morning I wanted to talk with you a little bit about, you, is that the Electoral College will not be filed by the states until late December. Now, there is talk this morning, because of the protest and because of this new revelation about apparently him lying about being involved with Russia, that the electors do not have to cast their vote. It is not illegal. For example, for the audience, we're here in Ohio. We have 18 electors that will go process those votes. Trump won Ohio, so theoretically they should all vote for Trump. But there is no law that says they have to do that. And that being said, do you think there's any play to allegations coming up, protests if they continue, that there is still a way that Hillary Clinton could be president? There's a lot of talk of that, more than normal.
That's possible. It would come up, and they wouldn't be obliged to vote in a certain way, and it could change, or he might never become the president. That would be very interesting. I think it's unlikely, but it is certainly possible.
Certainly, and I guess the final question today, you, and I thank you for giving us a few minutes here, but did you think in your 9 decades on this planet, coming from Ohio and doing just about everything there ever was to do, that you would see a day like this, that Donald J. Trump would be president of the United States?
No, I did not think so. And I certainly was not alone in that. I did not believe that I would ever see that. But it's a little bit like somebody once asked me what an average day was like for me, and I said there is no average day. Every day is different, and every day has some surprises. Some of them are really massive, and some are not terribly large at all. But this was the most massive surprise I ever saw, and I think that's true of a lot of people who would never have dreamed of seeing what we're looking at now.
But final question today, and I can only ask you this, you, because I think you're the last one left. But you knew Truman. You had met him, President Truman. You interviewed President Eisenhower.
Yeah.
You've been there for all of them. It's a two-part question. Is Donald Trump comparable to any of the presidents, Republican or Democrat, you have known? And the second part of that question is, should we be more worried than we've ever been in your lifetime?
Yeah, I don't think we have to be. I'll answer that one first. I don't think we have to be that worried. We had, Andrew Jackson was an incredibly wild president, far worse than Trump. And he wasn't even trying to be a good president. And he very nearly tore the nation apart. So I think that Trump will not be anything like that, but I think he really wants to be a president, and he's going to see to it that he gets to be.
And the other part of that, going back to Truman, would you compare him to any president you've known?
No, there again, you know, talk about surprises. Truman was a haberdasher for Independence, Missouri, and a vice president, and so they wanted to make sure he wasn't trying to run for president or anything undue. So they made him, you know, he became the vice president, and then his boss got assassinated, and he suddenly was president. Well, he was a good president, I think, and he showed it when who was the general that thought they could tromp on him? And Truman just said to him, "You're fired." What was that general?
Was it MacArthur?
What's that?
Was it MacArthur, General MacArthur?
I think so. And he just immediately showed his power as a president, and he was a very good president. You know, he faced an awful lot of stuff. I had to examine this myself because he okayed the Hiroshima and what was the other thing? The two things that we put an atomic bomb on it.
Nagasaki.
And in doing that, he probably saved an awful lot of lives, American lives and Japanese lives, because there would have been a long ending thing that would have made the beaches in the other side of the world where was it? There were so many troops went, 100,000 troops that went ashore and got killed because and that's what would happen if he hadn't scared the Japanese off with two atomic bombs. And I thought he behaved as a president. So that kind of surprise can often come up. And I just don't think that Trump could possibly be as bad as Andrew Jackson, for example.
You know, it's interesting. When Truman took office, people thought he didn't know anything. Most people didn't even know who he was. Reagan, people were a little hesitant. They were scared of him. Is it possible that Donald Trump could end up being a great president?
It's possible. It really is possible. Partly because he's just always been very outspoken, and that type of thing will be stuck to him forever because it's all recorded and it's all Twitter and everything has got it. It's choking the stratosphere practically with its approach that Trump has, and that will dog him. But I don't think that will make him a bad president necessarily. And the thing is now that we've got to give him a chance to see if he can do it.
Do you think that because now he will appoint a Supreme Court justice, could we see the end of Roe v. Wade, Obamacare, same-sex marriage?
That would be pretty bad, you know, because that would be a real awful step backward. We need somebody, and I'll be interested in seeing if he can do this. We need somebody who will really do something about the inequality between men and women. You know, the fact that often pointed to that a woman can do the same job as a man but be paid 70-some percent as much money. That's got to be corrected. And I think Trump has got a chance to make, as a president, to make a real name for himself if he can do something about that alone. And I think it would be I would not be totally surprised if he was able to do that.
At 69 years old, does Hillary Clinton now just ride off into the sunset as a former first lady?
Yeah, I suppose so. It was must have been an awful shock to her when she looked like she really had it sewed up, and suddenly her opposition went around and got in front of her and became the president, and she was just that must have been a terrible shock to her. But and I doubt if she, when she recovers from this, she may still have years of doing some good. And if Trump was really a hero, he could ask her to serve on, in some way that she still has the energy for. And I wouldn't be surprised if he did that.
Speaking of energy, it is now the last question I want to ask you. Trump broke history becoming the oldest president ever elected, surpassing Ronald Reagan at 70 years old. Does a 70-year-old man in 2016 have the energy for this job?
I tell you what, I think being 95, I talk every now and then I run into somebody say, well, he's really up in years. He's 76 or something. And I have to look back and say that's a youth. I have a son that's 70 years old, and you know you've been around a while when you got a son that's 70, and that's and in this day and age that's not old. It really isn't. So I don't think there's any question about her ability to maybe be useful still. And as I said, Trump, as president, may have a great chance to make a hero of himself and ask her to be active for him in this issue.
Hugh Downs, it's always my great honor to talk with you. Thank you for sparing a few minutes with us this morning.
It's a great pleasure, and thank you very much, Scott.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
See you later.
Hugh Downs, legendary anchor of the Today Show 2020 and the announcer on The Tonight Show with Jack Parr. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. We've got 20 minutes left here, and I hope you jump in because a lot to talk about that we did not cover yesterday. And what about the riots last night? Did anybody expect that was going to happen? Did anybody think anything different was going to happen? What kind of president is Donald Trump today? If you were a fly on the wall today at the White House, what would you think is going on between President Obama and President-elect Donald Trump? And now this new word out of Moscow. If you didn't hear it earlier on, I want to read it again. But again, the phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. And again, this is not a goofy news service reporting this. This is Reuters. This is a very prestigious news service right up there with the Associated Press. I want to read it again. The Russian government was in touch with members of President-elect Donald Trump's political team during the U.S. election campaign and knows most of his entourage, one of Russia's most senior diplomats, told the Interfax news agency on Thursday. Today, accused by defeated Democratic contender Hillary Clinton of being a puppet for President Vladimir Putin after praising the Russian leader, Trump has dismissed suggestions he had anything to do with the Russian government during the campaign. But in comments that could prove politically awkward for the president-elect, Russian Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Rivox says that there had indeed been some communication. There were contacts, Interfax cited. We are doing this and have been doing this during the election campaign. Such contacts would continue, he added, saying the Russian government knew and had been in touch with many of Trump's closest allies. He did not name names. Obviously, we know most of the people from Trump's entourage. Those people have always been in the limelight in the United States and have occupied high-ranking positions, he said. I cannot say that all of them, but quite a few have been staying in touch with Russian representatives. Moscow was just beginning to consider how to go about setting up more formal channels to communicate with the future Trump administration. A spokeswoman for Trump did not immediately respond to a request for comment. And again, interestingly enough, the FBI has been investigating Donald Trump since July, trying to find ties to the Russian government, because the problem is that Hillary Clinton's campaign had been cyber attacked. The Democratic Party had been cyber attacked, and her campaign, and the U.S. government has blamed that on Russia. And Donald Trump denied that that was going on. But apparently, this high-ranking diplomat in Russia seems to feel otherwise. What do you make of that? 740-383-9944. That's 740 383-9944. Why wait till after the campaign to bring that up if it's not an issue? If it wouldn't have mattered, why wait till 2 days after the campaign to bring up that indeed you had been in communication with Donald Trump? See, here's the problem. Being in communication with Donald Trump, that's tricky because Russia's not an ally of ours, but you could probably get away with that without too much problem. But where the problem arises is that 11 people in the CIA had already decided that the cyber attacks that were going on against Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party were being done by Russia. And that is espionage and treasonous. And if Trump's campaign was in touch with Russia, and he was asked flat out at one of the debates, and many times, if he knew Putin, if he was in contact with Russia, and his answer was absolutely not. Didn't know Putin, thought he could maybe help out there, but was not in touch with him. If the Trump campaign was in touch with Russia during the election, what does this mean? There are people protesting in the streets, and don't underestimate the power of that. Thousands and thousands of people went out last night in several states. Washington, D.C., they were protesting. That, of course, not a state, but they were protesting near the White House. They were protesting in Los Angeles, California. They were protesting in... there was another city in California where they were protesting. They were protesting in Seattle, Washington. They were protesting in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. They were protesting in New York City in front of the Trump towers. They were protesting in Chicago, Illinois last night. And will they be back out again tonight? Will this news from Russia mean anything? And will the Electoral College change? Because right now, I believe it's 232. Clinton has 232, Trump has 290. The electors are not bound to vote for the people who won the state. They're supposed to, and they usually do, but it is not illegal and it is not law that they have to do that. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If 38 of those electors from any of the states, 38, change their vote, that would make Hillary Clinton the president. What do you think? 740-383-9944. What did you think of Hillary Clinton's speech yesterday on the whole election, the concession speech? What did you make of President Obama and his concession speech? What do you think's going on there right now? 740-383-9944. Give us a call and we will put you up on the air. And we are still looking here for some more information on this Moscow story. Here's another take on it. This is just moments ago this came out, within the last few hours. This is from CBS News. A top Russian diplomat said Moscow had contacts with Donald Trump's campaign ahead of his election as president. The deputy foreign minister is the person who is reporting this, was quoted as telling the Interfax news agency Thursday there were contacts. The report did not give further details. In careful phrasing befitting the spy he once was, Vladimir Putin made it clear he expects a great deal from Trump, and the billionaire businessman may expect a transactional, I don't know. This is very strange. Although the Kremlin clearly detested Hillary Clinton's, Putin's public statements on Trump's victory steered clear of gloating. Other Russians were less fastidious, suggesting that Putin, in private, could be delighted and perhaps harboring unreasonable expectations. CBS News correspondent Elizabeth Palmer reports Russia's enthusiasm for Trump's win was on show at watch parties all over Moscow Wednesday. This is the victory that American people brought the whole world, a man at one party told CBS News. Trump's rise to the White House puts two men into seats of global power who are paradoxically both remarkably similar and widely different. Trump's praise of the Russian president as a strong leader, his suggestion that the U.S. could abandon its NATO commitments, and his vehement complaints about alleged biased news media all appear to parallel Putin's view of the world. Well, I don't know. What does this mean? Nobody has an opinion on this. People were happy yesterday when Trump won. What do you think of the protests last night? What do you think of this news from Russia? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a call. Does this mean anything, or is it just blow off and the people who were protesting last night will go home and they will not be back, and that this thing to Vladimir Putin will mean nothing, and there was no tampering with the election and it never happened, and life will go on as normal? Or does this become a news story? Or is this nothing? Today's the first day. Just came out about 3 hours ago. 740-383-9944. That's 740-3-9944. The phone lines are open. For all those people who wanted something different to talk about rather than emails and all this, well, this certainly is a different topic, because Trump has been elected president by the people of the United States, but was there sabotagery going on? Was there treason? Was there espionage? Why were these ties denied? Why is Trump not commenting? You know, that's the part that bothers me. You know, Russia is not a nice country. And for them to put the finger on Donald Trump, that just might be a joke. But the problem is, when the Trump campaign was asked about this morning, they said no comment. Why didn't they just deny it? Say outright, no, we were not having contact with them. That's what they've said all along. Why now not deny it? Why do a no comment? That's very peculiar. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a call. We're going to take a quick break. Hopefully come back with you on the toll. 740-383-9944. Give us a call. Remember, we're live on the internet, WWGH1071.com, and you can get us on any mobile device by downloading the free TuneIn app and searching WWGH. And all of our shows are archived on the website. Go to the website and you can get all of our archive shows. Listen to them at your leisure. Come back with us. We're right around the corner. 740-383-9944.
Hello, this is Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And you know, Charlie Evers is a Marion radio legend. And you can catch him right here on WWGH 107.1 FM and streaming live on the internet at WWGH1071.com. Charlie also takes your calls on anything under the sun by calling this number, 740-383-9944. Speedy delivery.
The Fahey Bank Charlie Evers Show, every Wednesday and Thursday, 10:10 a.m. till 12 noon, and Friday, 1:10 p.m. till 3 p.m. on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. It's Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, right here on WWGH Radio from 12:10 to 2 p.m. Listen to the program for guests like these. The voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid and actress Pat Carroll.
And I think villains are the most fascinating people as an actress to play. They have more edges to them. They have more color to them. Isn't that a shame that goodness isn't more fascinating, or our world would be better?
I guess.
But there is something fascinated about tacky people, mean people. They're colorful. Good people always seem to be a little bit, ugh, yucky. But bad people always have edges to them. That's why they're so wonderful to play for actors.
That?
Because you can pick all the things in life as a human being, that annoy you or that you would like to do to be really rotten mean, most people are too afraid to be rotten mean because we want people's approval so badly. And we know that being rotten mean isn't going to get us that. But, oh, villains for actors are the best things in the world to play.
You know, Pat, that almost describes our current political situation in this country.
Doesn't it just? I thought of that, but you're quite right.
Join me Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio. We'll take your calls, 740-383-9944. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
53 minutes past the hour. Scott Spears back here for about 7 more minutes. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a call. We would love to hear from you about everything that's been going on. Did you have any interest in what Hugh Downs said earlier on in the interview, his take on what happened during the big election on Tuesday, or his feelings about the possible Russian tampering? Did it happen? Did it not happen? Where does Hillary Clinton go from here? What do you think about the local elections here in Marion? Sheriff Tim Bailey reelected with over 50% of the vote. Brent Yeager sent back to office. Andy Apfelfeller returned to office. Julie Cagle returned to office. And I think that's, of course, Dan Russell is the only incumbent who lost his seat. But Dan is a good gentleman, and I'm sure he will do good things. I don't think we've heard the last of Dan Russell. Kerr Murray takes that seat with the county commissioners in what looked to be a Republican landslide. The only Democrat winning in Marion on Tuesday night was Sheriff Tim Bailey, and won by an overwhelming margin, 50% of the vote, defeating the Republican Scott Blau and independent former Sheriff Ron Scheider. 740-383-9944. What do you think? Tanner Hale on yesterday giving a lot of opinions about what he thought with the elections, local and national, and we want to hear your opinions. Again, only 6 minutes left to get those out, so you better get those dialing fingers ready. 740-383-9944. We certainly would be interested in hearing from you at this particular time. Another thing that's going on, another thing that makes this Electoral College very strange, is that if Clinton does indeed win the popular vote, and it does look like she is going to win the popular vote by about 2 million votes, will there be calls to kill the Electoral College? There is some talk about that during the protests last night. A lot of people were talking about that. Do you think the Electoral College should go? Should it be about people, or is the Electoral College very important in this country? It elected Donald Trump. It elected George W. Bush when they did not have the majority of the votes. 740-383-9944. Something that was very interesting I found about this whole election. They keep talking about the Trump landslide, but doing a little research last night into the votes as they were all coming in, Donald Trump got fewer votes than Mitt Romney did and got fewer votes than John McCain did. But the difference was Hillary Clinton got a lot fewer votes. I think something like 9 million, maybe 6 million fewer votes than Barack Obama did. So voter turnout was not as high as it had been in previous elections, because Donald Trump did not get as many votes as Mitt Romney or John McCain, and both of them lost their elections. Hillary Clinton did not get as many votes as Barack Obama did. So maybe it wasn't that people crossed parties. It doesn't look like they did in any great level. It just looks like Democrats didn't turn out to vote.
is what it seemingly looks like at this point. Although they did turn out more than Republicans, because Hillary Clinton, as I said, it looks like will win the popular vote by about 2 million votes nationwide. Peculiar, peculiar stuff. Who thought the election would end on Tuesday night? Who didn't think there'd be many more stories? I wonder how the meeting right now is going between Donald and President Obama. Boy, oh boy. That must be a very interesting meeting when you have the current president talking with a man who challenged his birth status for so many years. 740-383-9944 if you want to get in. We only have 3 minutes left. 740-383-9944. We heard of a lot of down-ticket voting yesterday in Marion, and maybe that was nationwide too, depending on which state you were in Ohio. Of course, a very Republican state. Marion, a very Republican county as of Tuesday night, because the down ballot really carried the Republicans to office in Marion with high re-election levels of over 50% in Marion, except Tim Bailey. Tim Bailey, the only Democrat, the sheriff, who did win re-election, but he also won with over 50%. So a lot of Republicans had to have crossed over and voted for Tim Bailey. In that particular race, what caused that? I don't know. That'd be something to look at as time goes on. It's interesting to look at these election results and find out why people did what they did. Why did people vote for Donald Trump in the end? Why did so many Democrats stay home and not vote for Hillary Clinton? Why did the independent vote not turn out? All the polling I saw, they were expecting Gary Johnson to be up in the 10% range, Jill Stein 2, 3, maybe even 4 to 5%. In most of the states that mattered, they maybe 2% Gary Johnson got, 3% didn't. It didn't show up. When people actually had to go in there and pull the trigger, it didn't pan out that way, I guess is the proper way to say that. But an interesting election, and as long as he is still the president-elect, we certainly do wish Donald Trump the best, because we are, as President Obama said, we are not Republicans, we are not Democrats, we are Americans. And as Hillary Clinton said, we need to give Donald Trump a chance. And as long as he hasn't done anything illegal, let's see what he does. Let's see how he can do this job. Do you think he'll change is the interesting question. Do you think now that he has the office, and he'll walk in there in January, do you think that will change the idea about building the wall and the Muslim ban and all the things he promised, investigating Hillary Clinton some more, special prosecutors? Who knows? But for this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout. Hope you enjoyed it. Make it a good one.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP, Marion, Ohio. The place to talk. From legendary comedian Abe Vigoda.
Oh, Abe, there's been...